This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. We're taking a look at the cryptocurrency space because cryptos have had a brutal first half of 2022. But the past few days have been even worse for the industry that's built itself up around digital currencies. On Monday, trading platforms halted withdrawals, companies cut jobs, and panicked investors dumped their holdings, dragging the market cap of crypto below $1 trillion. And this is down from $3 trillion at its peak in November. So the sell-off comes as investors rotate out of the riskiest assets due to the macroeconomic headwinds and rising interest rates.
Bitcoin, of course, plunged to an 18-month low, falling to around $21,000 before climbing back up to $22,000. Ethereum, which is second to Bitcoin, fell to around $1,000. Currently, it's standing at $1,200. Now, Celsius, one of the most popular crypto staking and lending platforms, halted withdrawals, swaps, and transfers between accounts due to extreme market conditions, which effectively locked up $12 billion in crypto assets under management, raising concerns about the platform's solvency. So once touted to be a hedge against inflation and the future of money, the current situation seems rather bleak and confidence will likely be challenged to rebuild cryptocurrencies.
So for some thoughts on what to expect in the coming weeks for the crypto space, we speak to Varun Mittal, the Chief Growth Officer at SingLife with Aviva. He's also the co-author of Singapore, the FinTech Nation. Varun, good morning. Always good to have you. Now, crypto has been going on a free fall since last week, with Bitcoin tumbling down to as low as $21,000 and Ether hovering around $1,000. What's causing this crash? Is it purely down to U.S. inflation numbers and fears of a looming recession?
There are beyond that risks. Of course, the rising interest rates create pressure on all risk assets. And if you look at overall tech sector, is down 70-80%. Very big stable names, even the likes of PayPal, Square, are down 70-80%. And if you look at history of Bitcoin, it has gone through 70-80% drawdown twice in its history. So, which is why when you have a fear on the street, the fear and exuberance are both irrational. So just like the exuberance also did not have as much fundamentals, sometimes the fear also is a part of overreaction, but it is a part of, so Bitcoin is an asset which has seen 80% drawdowns. If we could reach a similar situation. And I believe that's the nature of the asset.
But Varun, do you think it's slightly different this time? So yes, the Bitcoin itself has seen declines of 70 to 80%, like you highlight. But we're also seeing the infrastructure that is surrounding cryptocurrencies come under pressure, be it like the platforms, for example. Does that make investors, should they be concerned?
See, the premise is the infrastructure was mostly lending-based infrastructure, whether it was staking of Terra or whether it's Celsius, whether it's others. It was more about people were looking after yield, that, okay, how can I lend my stuff to somebody else to get 8, 10, 12, 14%, 20% interest? The premise is if the market is going up, people are willing to borrow from you because they are hoping it will go up and they can sell it back. But once it stops going up, nobody can pay you 12%, 18% yield. So the party of it's constantly going up stops. So people stop paying interest and then the default starts to happen from that perspective. So it was running like a very high risk, high yield bond environment. And when the moment market stops going up, people stop borrowing and your margin calls all over.
Varun, do you have a sense of how low we can expect Bitcoin and Ethereum to fall in the coming days and weeks as we get more news coming out of the Fed, as the tightening cycle continues? Do you think $10,000 for Bitcoin, $500 to $600 for Ether, is that the bottom that we're kind of expecting?
I believe that the way we would look at, I would suggest to look at it, is look at which are the wallets which have not transacted in the previous drawdowns as well. So there are those perpetual hodlers, as they would say. Those would still hold on most likely, but you would see pressures in institutions. A lot of institutions would start to put 2%, 3%, 5% allocation. There would be more pressure. And since in the overall public markets, there is no clear bottom visible. People do not know whether the interest rate hike is going to continue for how long the geopolitical war and the related pressure on oil is going to be there, how long it will take for inflation to come to realistic terms. So I believe a bottom could be a few months away or quarters away. The overall uncertainty on economy will reflect higher on high risk sectors like crypto.
So does this then mean that the initial assumptions that some investors had that that Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies in general were supposed to be a hedge of against inflation is not true?
As I said, like fear and exuberance are both irrational at times. Mm. There was no economic fundamental to say that Bitcoin would be totally non-correlated to the other assets. And specifically, when you have large public investors who are just starting to look at it as a public passive allocation or active trading, for them, it's just one more commodity. There are believers on the decentralization of the world, no government control. But for others, it's just one more asset class. They just trade it for the sake of it. They just see it as a financial instrument. So the ones who see it as just a financial instrument, they don't have an emotional attachment to it. And yes, the diamond hands will have its emotional attachments. But for those, it's just an instrument. It's just an instrument.
Okay. So Varun, that leads to my next question. How do you then value this new financial instrument? Because if you look at stocks, right? We like to look at earnings, for example. What do we look at when we value cryptocurrencies?
The premise is the way I would look at it is what is the usage of it? What will be the use cases which will be built on top of it? For example, what are the industrial usages of, because people say it's scarce. A lot of things are scarce. A lot of the monkey apes were scarce. What's happening to those monkey apes now? So just scarcity and utility are two clear facets of how would you value something like this? Some of these crypto assets, so I would say Ethereum at least has some smart contract use cases from that perspective. Chains like Polygon have a lot of use cases built on top of them. So beyond scarcity, each of these coins would need to show what's the utility for them to be able to have a clear value proposition. Otherwise, they will just end up being a financial instrument for people to speculate.
So I suppose, what do you see happening in the regulatory space as we're seeing these markets tumble? Do you think governments will take this time to increase regulatory scrutiny on cryptos moving forward on the backdrop of these crashes?
See, the premise is governments have constantly been telling people that retail should not invest in this. These are not right for retail investors. The governments globally have been trying their best. But there is a limitations on, because the governments can control to an extent the on-ramp, off-ramp, but the governments can't stop per se. Because premise is if you decide to start buying baseball cards, you decide to start buying art paintings of somebody, the government cannot go and start regulating those from that perspective. The stable coins part is the one which I believe would get more regulated, because the stable coins try to mimic the behaviors of sovereign fiat currency, and that could create economic issues. That, I believe, would get a lot more regulation and scrutiny around that. But the non-stable coin space is just like anybody creating its own commodity, anybody creating its own art. That's beyond regulations. You decide to, I draw something and you think it's worth $10 million. It's willing buyer, willing seller.
Varun, thank you very much for speaking to us. That was Varun Mittal, Chief Growth Officer at SingLife with Aviva, giving us his take on what's happening with crypto markets at the moment. It's a wild, wild west out there, really.
It really is. How do you value this? I guess you look at its uses, right? But it's definitely a new financial instrument that many of us have to deal with, or not deal with, but learn about. And it's still evolving. I think that's the interesting part of it.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.